You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, sort of a brassy, audacious Tuesday edition. And we're going to stay on this topic at least a while longer. Republicans, you know, they just want to be the biggest and the best. And it doesn't mean the best at governance. Just make the biggest splash, make the biggest noise, get elected to something powerful, and then hold on tight. You know, governing, an afterthought, really, all things considered. It's really just about Twitter notice and grifting. Of course, there's the raising of enormous, ginormous amounts of money. You know who's doing really good at that? Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis so far has got a $100 million war chest. The only guy that's got a bigger war chest that I'm aware of, Donald Trump. And how does Ron DeSantis mirror Donald Trump? They both want to be the president in 2024. Well, they're on a collision course, two Florida men, you know. And I suspect at some point it's going to come to a head. But I remember way back in like 2015, there was an ambitious guy from Wisconsin that thought he was going to be a big deal. His name was Scotty Walker. He was the governor of the state of Wisconsin. He had won re-election. He had national donors. Fraser Fries was in the front row of his inauguration for governor. So he won re-election and then basically pivoted immediately to run for president. Only you don't do it that way. You don't make a big announcement. Not right away. You get like a 5-2-7. I think he called it Our American Freedom or something. And you have a shadow campaign in waiting. That's what Scott Walker did. And Scott Walker, you know, had some moderate success. He won a recall. He had made his conservative bones. He had stuck it to the unions in the state of Wisconsin. Man, that guy looked like a winner, at least if you believe in such things. You know, he was the last generation of audacious candidates. Well, if you remember the history, he didn't become president. And he kind of, let's just say, faltered as a candidate. I mean, that guy was spending money like a MC Hammer. What do they call it when you bring all your pals around? You're wasting money out of every pocket.
Like an entourage type
of thing? Something like that. Well, Scott Walker went through like $40 million in 71 days.
That's more than Brewster's millions, if I recall.
That guy was spending money like a drunken sailor and then got out of the campaign with a net negative worth, talking about Scott Walker, and over $1 million in campaign debt. And then, you know, he basically sold every name on his donor list up and down the river 100 times over and paid off his debt, you know, after settling many of his debts for less than full balance, as, you know, good politicians do.
I believe that I'm being called to lead by helping to clear the field in this race so that a positive conservative message can rise to the top of the field.
Or nobody likes me.
And the very next day, I got to end his press conference. Looked like he was going to cry just a little bit. Scott Walker back to wreak havoc on Wisconsin. Kind of rolled his eyes at me. Well, he'd probably roll his eyes if he saw this new headline over at the very conservative National Review. Can Ron DeSantis avoid the Scott Walker fate? Scott Walker is now being analogized in conservative media as Walker equals loser. Walker,
I'm an Eagle Scout,
equals loser. I like to call him wanker, but, you know, he's a big freaking loser. I'm not going to read all of this, very conservative, but I'm going to read the conclusion. But, you know, the takeaway, Walker equals loser.
Having a great time.
And how could Ron DeSantis not fall into the Walker is a loser trap? That's the nature, gist of this article. So here's, you know, like the last 4 or 5 paragraphs. We'll just bring you the conclusion. So where does all of this put the Florida governor Ron DeSantis in comparison to Walker equals loser? It's early, but DeSantis has picked several fights that have gotten him on the right side of the massive Republicans who might pay attention to what a governor is doing. In the course of the COVID pandemic, he opened up Florida's businesses more quickly than liberals liked. He banned mandatory masking in schools more quickly than liberals liked. He has taken on Democrats regarding the standards on teaching primary and secondary school students about gender and sexual identity. He's been unflinching. And perhaps most usefully, from his perspective, he consistently beats his liberal opposition into overreach in its criticisms. That's a good start. It made him famous. He isn't Trump famous, but he is pretty well known for a governor, comparable to Scotty Walker. And don't forget, Walker equals loser in this account.
I used
in this
to
article.
Run track.
Yeah, Walker equals loser at the peak of his recall campaign. But that won't mean anything if he, in this case, we are talking about DeSantis, not Walker equals loser, if he can't connect his record of being a fighter to the job of being president. DeSantis faced down the extreme COVID restrictionist, but with little luck. COVID will be a fading issue in 2024. Curriculum and teacher standards for primary and secondary schools are state issues. You probably can't run a 2024 presidential campaign by playing the hits from Florida state government 2020 to 2022. It didn't work out well for you, did it, Walker? That's why you equal loser in this particular article, but let me read on. He, DeSantis in this case, probably needs to turn his record as a fighter into a meaningful federal agenda. One option could involve reducing the capacity of powerful private bureaucracies like internet service providers, internet payment processors, and banks to form abusive cartels. Yeah, good luck fighting the banks. It could involve legislating a code of conduct by colleagues that accept public funds, colleges that accept public funds to operate in a nonpartisan and transparent manner. You know, the forced free speech on campus kind of stuff, because, you know, if your speech is unpopular, you got to force the students to listen to you. That's the only way it works.
Freedom.
And to respect the rights and safety of political dissidents on campus. You know, that's Scott Walker's newest cause. Going and martyring himself campus to campus, giving unpopular speeches and bringing unpopular speakers on behalf of the Young Nazi Association that Walker now heads up, because unfortunately, instead of winning the presidency, Walker was a loser. But I read
on. Having a great time.
The standard Republican response to weaponization of bureaucracy against conservatives is belligerent impotence. They promised to fight, but it's pro wrestling, and the Republicans have scripted themselves as the loser. See Scott Walker. Conservatives could use a real fighter in this, but a real fighter would require a policy agenda that can pass, and that would make a difference if it did pass. But here's the thing, Republicans, I'm just saying this as an aside, Republicans don't actually have a governing agenda. They just have audacity. They're just out there fighting the good fight. Also, DeSantis would need to settle on an economic agenda. Right now, and this is according to conservative National Review, the Republicans don't have much of an economic policy aside from calling for more energy production and complaining about inflation. Maybe it's the best course. It's better than calling for a tax increase on the poor. And let's not forget how Rick Perry, he was the other loser that they reference in this article. Let's not forget how Rick Perry showed that simply pointing to an impressive record of job creation in your state isn't enough, and it isn't connected to a national agenda. Well, Scott Walker couldn't even do that. He promised us 250,000 jobs in the first 4 years. Never did get there. Not Nate. That's why Scott Walker equals
and the what's the third one there? Let's see.
Yeah, oops. The challenge that DeSantis faces, which Perry and loser Walker also face but failed at, is to articulate how his statewide record applies to federal politics. Unlike Perry and loser Walker, whose entire elected careers were in state politics, Walker, a perennial backbencher, DeSantis has some experience in Washington. But the most important thing for him to keep in mind is that state and federal politics work differently. One can master both, but doing so involves putting in the work. And apparently Scott Walker was too much of a prima donna to do the work. Then he was a big loser. Failed in 71 days. That had a sting.
Well, you know, good thing that we aren't suffering for his policies that he used to go and try and get himself reelected. Oh, wait. We are suffering for the political ambitions of Scott Walker.
Oh, we certainly are. And I would point out, here in the state of Wisconsin, we're still and currently the battleground for the 2020 election. You thought it was in the rear view, but it's still going on. And we did promise, Lordy, there's a tape. Before I run out of time, and Fancy Brian, you'll keep me on time, I feel quite confident. Let's play the tape. This is John Eastman. This is the attorney to Donald Trump. And this is him on March 16th, if we believe the reporting, and I do. And this is him proposing stealing the election in real time. Let's play it for the people. Fancy Brian, attorney John Eastman.
Now, the Wisconsin legislature, therefore, in my view, not just up until January 6th or inauguration, but today as well,
today has
the ability to look at the assessment and say, you know, our election was illegally certified. The consequences of that, we can fight about. Florida, the legislature did the same thing in 2000. When the Florida Supreme Court decided to alter, unilaterally alter their election law and was going to try and throw that election opposite of what had happened, I was retained by the Florida legislature to help them craft legislation that would reclaim their authority to decide the electors. The House and the Senate, or the Assembly and the Senate, I forget what they call it down there, both passed that bill out of committee. It was scheduled for floor vote the week the Supreme Court decided Bush versus Gore. So what we're asking here is not something that has not been done before. What we are asking is for the legislature to assume the power that the Constitution gives to them. And if that requires that they be called back into extraordinary session, as there is no doubt that they have the authority to do, then they should do that. But if they want to pass a resolution saying our election was illegally certified, that federal election was illegally certified, there's no power in the state other than the legislature that can stop that. Now, that just seems odd to us, because we've gotten this notion that, judicial supremacy. Well, I can't do it without asking the court's permission. I'm sorry.
Yes.
You know, there are some things that the Constitution makes you the last stop.
Yes, sir.
And this is one of them.
Yes.
When you do an impeachment and it gets tried over in the Senate, so there was a lawsuit years ago. So he said, oh, I'm not allowed to call witnesses. The Supreme Court said, we got nothing to say about it, because the Constitution assigns the last stop on that process to the Senate. On this process, the last stop is the state legislature.
Yes.
And if they're not going to exercise the power that we, the people, gave to them, then we need to find people who will.
Amen.
Now, that was Attorney John Eastman, March 16th, Wisconsin State Capitol. He's in a hearing room. And that is not specifically when he's speaking to the Republican Assembly leader, Robin Voss. But one must think he told him the same damn thing, right? And if you couldn't hear all of that, what he basically did is he told the story of Florida back in 2000. And he claims that he had helped draft legislation that basically had passed both the Republican-controlled House and Senate in Florida. And, you know, lo and behold, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled, and they got their way anyways. So he's claiming there's precedent. Now, that's not exactly precedent. You know, the U.S. Supreme Court beat them to the punch, if you will. But that's not stopping him from making this ballsy argument. Now, the room is full of supportive. I know that Evan clipped that down. There was long periods of cheering. It was a little disjointed, I grant you, because we didn't hear all the pauses. They were kind of shortened. But what he effectively said is you can still take back the election. The legislature has the power to do this. It's controlled by Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin. You don't need a governor's signature to do it. You can basically go around the courts by doing so, and you still have the power to do so right now. And Lordy, this is on tape. Now, he is proposing a crime. We know what the outcome of the last election is. What he is proposing is overturning the outcome of a legally upheld election. What he's proposing is illegal, and it's on tape. And he's got the audacity to go to the Wisconsin State Capitol and make a proposition of the sort to the Republican leadership thereof. And the last part, if you didn't hear the threat, Eastman said either go along with this, Republican lawmakers, or we're going to get your ass elected out of office. We're going to primary your ass. So, you know, that seems ballsy. Sorry about the coarse language. More Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.
You wouldn't hire me to be a neurosurgeon. You wouldn't hire me to run condos. You wouldn't hire me to run HP. You probably wouldn't hire me to run the United States Senate.
You are one pathetic loser.
Scott Walker.
Everything you always wanted in a
governor.
And less.
Wanker.